Good morning. It's great to see all of you. It is fall. I'm sure you felt on the way, and I said that to the choir moments ago, and I got a woo and an amen. It is a beautiful day, and it is great that we can honor our Lord by gathering and worship and giving thanks. There are a few different things going on in the life of our community, and I want to highlight those. Our Wednesday night suppers are back on this week, 6 o'clock. Would love for you to be there. And again, as we've had in a couple of our recent Wednesday night suppers, we have a member sharing some of his gifts. This current week, we have Jim McCullough. He's going to present a program called It's Gonna Hurt. And it's a discussion on the benefit of play and risk for children, something he is very invested in and interested in. So certainly all of you who are parents and grandparents, I think you'd really enjoy this particular program. Shalom Farms, our last outing of the year is this coming Saturday, the 15th. You can read more about that in your bulletins. I will invite you to begin circling Sunday, October 30th. That is a day we're going to worship here. We're going to have a baptism here. That's Pledge Sunday. You're going to get a pledge card in the mail later this week where you can begin discerning how is God calling me, calling us to contribute to the ministry and mission of this congregation for 2017. And so we're going to offer those pledges here in worship on that day. And then after that service of worship, we're going to have a harvest brunch. And we're really looking to get the whole church out for the harvest brunch. That means all of you, those who aren't here yet, those who may be missing this Sunday, everybody, October 30th, Harvest Brunch, and you're going to keep hearing more about that, but you'll see the details in your bulletin. Should be just a wonderful festive way to celebrate being the family of God, the family of Grace Covenant in this particular season. Finally, I want to give thanks. We have a great mission committee, does incredible work both on the local front and on the international front. Many of you know our biggest mission effort internationally is in Honduras through Kish. And we are so grateful that we have Melvin and Lorena from Honduras with us, who are partners in ministry there. And just incredibly grateful that they can share and worship with us today. And I do hope that you'll get a chance afterwards either to meet them for the first time or welcome them back and offer the greetings of Jesus Christ to them. And we do. We give thanks that we share in this incredible partnership. Invite you to stand wherever you are and greet some of the folks around you. Begin finding your seats again as we prepare our hearts and our minds to worship the living God.
Welcome to the live broadcast of a service for the worship of God, which is coming to you from the sanctuary of Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church in Richmond, Virginia. Thank you.
On this blessed day that God has given us to gather and worship, let us rise. Let us stand as one faithful community, as one family, and bring ourselves, our hearts, and our spirits into worship. Our faith has been dormant, and it is too much to bear. We witness heartache and bullying, but cry out for a world of honor and righteousness. Imbalance us with love as we enter in to worship you. Inspire us to shame the laws that oppress, and enliven us to engage in worship this bright morning. We are called to worship. Amen.
Once again, welcome to the live broadcast of a service for the worship of God, which is coming to you from the sanctuary of Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church at 1627 Monument Avenue in Richmond, Virginia. This is the 93rd year of radio ministry at Grace Covenant, and today's broadcast is number 4810. The Reverend Mr. Robert Holm Lippert is our pastor. This morning's sermon, entitled The Intergenerational Gift, will be delivered by Reverend Mr. Holm Lippert. Assisting in the service today are Christopher Martin, our Director of Music and Organist, the Chancel Choir, Christopher Tweel, our Associate Pastor for Christian Education, and Ruling Elder Louis Roseborough with a moment for ministry. Our church is handicapped accessible with an elevator, wheelchairs, hearing assistance, and large print bulletins and hymnals. Child care is provided for infants, toddlers, and kindergartners. Worship kits are available for older children at the entrance to the sanctuary. Our opening hymn is For the Beauty of the Earth, which is number 473 in the Presbyterian hymnal.
So after singing in a grateful voice this hymn, we are blessed with an opportunity. Regardless of what the week has brought us previously, we have a moment now in time to confess, to go to God, to be humble, and to accept what God has blessed us with. Let us join in this prayer together. Merciful God, you call us to turn away from behaviors and attitudes that belong to the darkness, to live honest and transparent lives as children of the light. We confess the times when we have failed, giving in to our darker thoughts and desires, and acting in ways that did not bring honor to your name. You call us to love one another, to honor our parents, to put the needs and interests of those around us above our own, to love others as deeply as we have been loved by you. We confess the times when we have failed, allowing our own desires and interests to take precedent over the needs of others. You call us to deal honorably with one another, even those who have hurt or offended us, to work through our disagreements with love and integrity, and so to build up the body of Christ. We confess the times when we have failed, finding it easier to simply walk away from hurtful relationships or to talk behind people's backs rather than to their faces. Teach us, God, in your mercy, and hear our need to be closer to your heart. Amen. In Sunday school this morning, in one of the Sunday school classes, we talked about the greatest miracle of Jesus Christ, which was the miracle of forgiveness brought to us by grace. Be assured, live into that grace as we were meant to, and live as free people, bringing the kingdom of God. Amen.
Please be seated. And at this time, I invite all of our children, 6 years and younger, to come forward, and you can join Reverend Christopher Tweel up front. The children will be heading over to our children's chapel for worship, and parents, you may pick them up after this service of worship. Let's go to our God in prayer. Our gracious God, we give thanks that you have given us your word, and we pray that it would be your Holy Spirit at work in and through the words that are read and proclaimed, so that truly we might hear your voice, and that it would be you who is in fact shaping us, molding us, guiding us, leading us, convicting us, encouraging us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We are continuing through our fall series in the Ten Commandments, taking one commandment a week. And we began a few weeks ago with that first commandment, in many ways a call to seek first God and put God first in every texture of life. And then we continued on and talked about not boxing God in and making an image of God. And in particular, if you were here, we talked about the danger of pinning down a butterfly. We moved on and talked about the third commandment and taking God's name in vain, and talked about the way we live our lives either fills God's name with glory and goodness or empties it, taking the name in vain. And last week, we talked about Sabbath and Sabbath rest and what it is to give our varied baggage to Jesus Christ and know the freedom of rest. Today, we hear the fifth commandment, Exodus 20. First, verse 2, which frames all 10 of the commandments, and then verse 12. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. And then on into the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, where Paul, nearing the end of his ministry, is exhorting a younger pastor, Timothy, and in many ways he is exhorting him to honor his spiritual parents. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. The word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. A few months ago, Michelle, Leo, and I went with some family over to the Hardywood Brewery about a mile north of here. And the brewery is not only known for its beer, but really its large social events that are held there all the time. We figured we'd show up one Saturday afternoon, see what's going on. And this particular Saturday afternoon, they had a live band. Stand-up bass, saxophone, keyboard, light snare. And as we're walking from where we park to the area where the band is, I start to sense, I know this song. Now, I know I don't know the name of the song, I don't know the artist of the song, but I know this. And suddenly my mind travels back in time, and I remember sitting in my grandmother's green Buick with the tan leather seats. This is the kind of music Grandma always had playing in her car. It was that music from the early 1940s, the jazzy kind with a little swing and a little pep to it. And as we get closer and this music is playing, I notice all of these 20-somethings gathering on a makeshift dance floor that's just a parking lot right in front of the band. And they're dressed in their flannel shirts and their skinny jeans and they've got their tattoos and they're partnering up to do the Lindy Hop to the music of their grandparents and great-grandparents. 2016 was holding hands with 1942. Now, as fun as that scene was, as striking as that scene was for me, something about it feels important for us to consider, especially in light of this command to honor our parents, honor the generations before us. And maybe also especially because all I seem to hear and read about points to many of the divisions that exist across generational lines today. In society, in our approach to the workplace, in the values that are kept, in the way we vote. Look at the Brexit vote, and you can see how that vote was in many ways divided strongly along generational lines. And then certainly within the church where we deal with all these dynamics coming from all the generations and sometimes make sweeping generalizations about the old folks who just will never change, the young folks who never get it or won't carry their weight. In fact, I was rereading a sermon in our archives over there from Pastor William Ward, who was pastor here from 1955 to 65. And in the late 50s, he had a sermon entitled, Which Amusements Are Right? And in his opening paragraph, he states the problem this way. Olders insist the younger generation is going to the dogs at a furious rate. In other words, if you're here and you're in your late 70s, 80s, or 90s, then your parents and grandparents were worried. He goes on, young people declare their parents are old-fashioned squares and creeps still living in the dark ages. And so apparently some of you who are in your late 70s, 80s, and 90s saw your parents and grandparents with nothing to teach because they're in the dark ages. And I thought, boy, in every generation, the same sentiments and divisions and issues return and can bubble up. But here in this parking lot are 20 and early 30-somethings doing the Lindy Hop to their grandparents' and great-grandparents' music. And as I watched this unfold, I couldn't help but think of my grandmother, not only because this was her music, but she had recently just passed at that point. I thought she'd get a kick out of this scene. Actually, she would have been honored because they were imitating her and her generation. And this is where the Hardywood scene begins to prove instructive to us amid our divisions and amid our call to heed, honor the fifth commandment. Imitation is one of the key ways we take seriously this command to honor our mothers and our fathers. But first, let's back up. I think we need to define mothers and fathers. And the larger catechism, which was written in the mid-1640s and is found in the Presbyterian Book of Confessions, is a great help here. Because at one point, the catechism's walking through all the Ten Commandments, exploring them in depth. And at one point, it says, asks this question: who are meant by father and mother in the fifth commandment? Answer: by father and mother in the fifth commandment are meant not only all natural parents, but all superiors in age and gifts, and especially such as by God's ordinance are over us in a place of authority, whether in family, church, or commonwealth. In other words, father and mother are taken to mean both literally the biological parents and all who are superior in age or in position of authority. That goes for family, that goes in the church, that goes in the country, the governance. We could do a whole sermon series exploring all these facets, but today I want to focus on what it means to honor our parents or our spiritual parents and mentors, the people who have shown us the love of Jesus, who have taught us the love of Jesus. And so I invite you to take a moment and just think about that. Who are some of those folks for you? Who are your mothers and fathers? Some of the folks who first introduced you to the music of Jesus Christ and brought you out on the dance floor of God's kingdom. Who are the folks who showed you the basic steps of the faith? Who are the folks whose influence has matured you and whose presence is a big part of why you're in this sanctuary today? I invite you to feel free. If names are coming to mind, you can even write them down with that pencil in front of you and put it on your bulletin, because I want to keep those names in front of us one way or another this morning, because we're going to come back to them. But at the very center of the Ten Commandments is this basic call to honor these various mothers and fathers. And part of how we do that is imitating them. Hebrews 13:7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you, and imitate their faith. Now we say, well, what's that mean? And again, the larger catechism is a great help here. What is the honor in which inferiors owe to superiors, or one generation owes to the one above? And it says the honor which inferiors owe to superiors, and it has this huge list, but it includes prayer and thanksgiving for the spiritual fathers and mother, and imitation of their virtues and graces. I love that. We honor our parents, our spiritual parents, our mentors, when we pray for them, when we give thanks for them, and when we imitate them. Not everything about them, their virtues and their graces, the Jesus qualities in their life: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Part of honoring our fathers and mothers is about recognizing this immense gift of faith those folks have passed along, pausing long enough to give thanks, and then imitate their dance moves. Not the bad ones, but the ones filled with virtue and grace. I think about my grandfather, who was an elder in the Presbyterian Church. I am not called to imitate every last thing he did and the way he did it. But I do think about when he said yes, when he made a commitment, he followed through. He always showed up. He understood words like duty and faithfulness deeply. And I need to honor that. He's still teaching me about those words. What about you? What would it mean today or this week if you were to honor one or two of those names that you wrote down or mentally wrote down a few minutes ago? Is God having one of those names stand out this morning for a reason maybe you can't even explain right now? And what are the virtues and graces specific to that person? How might that person be honored this day? And so Jesus Christ honored. There is one other thing that must be mentioned about the Lindy Hop. You can't actually really do the Lindy Hop just by imitating. Some of you may know the Lindy Hop is a dance that began among the African-American community in Harlem, New York in the 1920s, and then became more and more popular nationwide in the 30s and the 40s. And the thing about the Lindy Hop is that it's a dance that combines this European 6- and 8-step count with improvisational techniques from the African-American community. Part of the dance, then, is very predictable and repeatable, and part of the dance is new and different every single time. Part of the dance is learned through imitation, learned the 8 steps. But part is only learned by experimenting and improvising. In fact, the sign that you really know the Lindy Hop, you can really do the Lindy Hop, is not so much when you've nailed the imitation part, but when you understand and feel the music within your soul at such a level that you can begin improvising your own motions within the 8-count move. My grandma would have been honored that Saturday afternoon because these folks were imitating her generation, but also they got it at such a deep level, they were improvising on what her generation had passed along. We most truly honor our parents and our spiritual parents when we imitate and improvise. In fact, paradoxical as it may sound, improvisation is probably even more honoring to our mothers and fathers than mere imitation. Let me explain. One of the best mentors I had was a man named Brian Shockey. He is currently a pastor in the United Methodist Church. But back in the early 2000s, he oversaw all of the youth and young adult ministry at a large church where I was interning. And as intern, I was in charge of helping with the high school youth. Brian constantly encouraged me to use my gifts to build relationships with the kids and show them Jesus, teach them who Jesus is. Time again, he told me to be creative and faithful in doing that. Well, I began mentoring a couple of these high school guys, and one day we started to brainstorm a way we could try to be helpful to Brian, since he does so much for the youth group and he's always staying busy and hardly has time for himself. And to this day, I don't know how we came around this particular idea, except that we began to think, well, Brian, he lives in this house that's a bit further out in the country, and he has this massive green yard that he never can keep up with or tend to or mow because he's busy with us. What we came up with was called the Midnight Mowing Ministry. It would be a ministry in which the three of us would show up at his house at midnight, in a truck, and pull out 3 lawnmowers, all wearing a headlamp, and we would mow his yard. We did it twice that summer. The first time we did this, he comes out with the biggest, goofiest grin. He loved it. Now, looking back, I can see 1,000 reasons why he should not have loved it. Too loud, too dangerous, poorly timed, poorly executed, because the next morning always revealed we missed these crazy spots in his yard. But he loved it. In fact, the second time, once we finished mowing, he comes and sits outside with us, and the four of us play guitar and sing worship songs into 2 and 3 in the morning. And we have this beautiful bond that emerges from this out-of-the-box ministry. What made Brian a great spiritual father, a great mentor, was the fact that he encouraged me to use my gifts to improvise. He didn't want me to simply copy the exact way he did things, the exact things he came up with. Why? Because mere imitation does not make it clear that the Christian faith is sinking deeply into my soul. You know, you can tell that someone really feels the music, is really being caught up in and shaped by the Holy Spirit when they're mature enough not only to imitate the 8-count virtues, but that improvise with wisdom and love as to how those virtues are enfleshed and take hold. The reason Brian did not yell and scream when the mowers revved up at 12:02 a.m., the reason Brian smiled a goofy grin, because Brian realized he was being honored. All summer long, he'd been teaching us about Jesus and praying for us, and it was sinking so deeply that we were learning, however awkwardly, to improvise with our own expressions of his virtues, compassion, and servanthood. We honor our fathers and mothers not only by imitating them, in particular those Jesus virtues, but by paradoxically not necessarily doing everything just the way they did. We may lead in the church differently. We may serve differently. We may parent differently. But improvisation definitely can be a sign that what the previous generation has taught us has sunk deep within us. And there's a real maturity. A dance is only mature when there is both imitation and improvisation in motion. You know, one of the great strengths of Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church is a rare one in today's world. We have a congregation of people from every generation. And in our divided and divisive world, we are truly multi-generational, and that speaks to the power of Jesus Christ, who does, in fact, reconcile people across every kind of boundary. But just because we are multi-generational does not make us intergenerational. Just because we sit together does not mean we're connected, befriending and growing and dancing with one another across generational lines. All this talk about honoring our mothers and fathers, but think back to that first list that you had in your mind or that you wrote on your bulletin. How many of those names are in this sanctuary today? If there are no names, pray about that. Because I think God is calling us to rekindle this 101-year-old dance floor with young and old hands and hearts coming together in new ways. If you're of a younger generation, I invite you to begin praying about a person or two here who might become for you something of a spiritual mother or father. If you're a seasoned saint, I invite you to begin praying that God might lead you to a person or two who might be a Timothy to your Paul. A whole bunch of you are stuck right there in the middle. You're praying in both directions. But look, in our divided society, we as a church, we have an imperative to call, to show forth the power of the good news of Jesus Christ. And I can think of there are not many more joyful and surprising ways than a dance floor filled with people of every generation honoring one another. And yes, dancing is awkward. It takes time to work out the kinks with new partners. But look, the Holy Spirit is alive and moving in here. The music is up and going. And one way every single one of us can honor any of our fathers and mothers is by getting back out on that dance floor with the congregation God has put together for such a time as this. And who knows what moves we might start to improvise as we mature together, as we take hands with one another. But with the God of resurrection leading us, it is something I very much look forward to seeing. Amen. In response to God's word, I invite you to stand as we sing together, called as partners in Christ's service.
You are listening to the live broadcast of a worship service at Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church. You have just heard this morning's sermon entitled The Intergenerational Gift, which was delivered by the Reverend Mr. Robert Holm Lippert. The congregation will now join in singing Called as Partners in Christ's Service, which is number 343 in the Presbyterian hymn.
Let us remain standing as we confess with the many generations of the church what it is that we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to join together in a moment in prayer, and we're going to take a part of the prayer to simply honor our mothers and fathers of every sort. As the Catechism said, one of the ways we honor them is by praying for them and giving thanks for them. And at one point in the prayer, I'm going to leave some open space, and I invite you to lift those names to God, whether you've written them down in your bulletin or you got them on your heart. And I don't mind how you want to lift them. If you want to honor them by saying their name out loud, say their name out loud. If you want to honor them by just whispering their name, whisper their name. If you want to honor them by just quietly saying their name to God, quietly say their name to God. If you want to honor them by writing them all down on the side of your bulletin, because that motion will help you name that all the more, write them down in that space. There's not a wrong way to offer thanks and honor these folks. Let us go to our God in prayer. Our gracious Lord, we give thanks. Like a father, you run toward us and embrace us, though we have time and again failed you. We give thanks that, like a mother hen, you gather us under the shelter of your wings. And we give thanks because we have known so much of who you are by seeing your spirit, your virtues, your love lived through our parents, our grandparents. One generation has commended you to the next. We've seen you through mentors. We've seen you through teachers. Seen you through coaches and leaders. Today, we pause to honor these mothers and fathers by offering our thanks. We ask that you hear these names as we speak them aloud, or in whispers, or in silence, or in writing. Holy Spirit, bless those names we have lifted to you. Bless their families. Empower us to imitate their virtues. And Holy Spirit, take root so deeply in our lives that we are strengthened to both imitate and improvise faithfully and wisely and boldly on what they have shown us. In all we do, may we honor them, and so most of all, honor you. We also take a moment to ask if you are nudging us to dance across generational lines with any in this congregation that you have brought together for such a time as this. Are you calling us to mentor or teach or love and bless those who've recently been baptized? Or those of another generation? Are you calling us to pray for and care for any in particular? Are you calling us to seek out new friendships with folks who are older than us? Folks who've carried this church in leadership for longer than we? Even as we take time to give thanks and listen to your leading, we cannot help but think of the devastating storm that has swept through so many areas, including Haiti and parts of this nation. As a mother hen gathers her children for refuge, gather those whose homes and livelihood has been torn, have been tattered. We pray that you'd gather those who are grieving because they have lost loved ones. We pray that you would show forth the fullness of your compassion and provision in this time to all those who have been affected by this storm. We enfold now our every prayer into the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, I want to invite Louis Roseborough, one of our ruling elders, forward. Each week in the month of September and October, we've been inviting different officers of the church to come forward and share some of what is going on in their area of ministry. What is God doing in and through some of their ministry? What are some of the stories that are unfolding? And also inviting each of you in the congregation to consider, is God nudging me to be part of what God's doing in that ministry? I've loved watching these last 4 weeks as an officer has shared here and then come up afterwards and said, there was a person or two or three or four who came up afterwards and said, I think God's nudging me to join in some of what's going on in your ministry. So listen for that nudge, and I'll invite Lewis to share some of what's on her heart and her ministry.
Thank you. I'm Lewis Roseborough, and I am a lifelong member of Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church. I am honored to be serving as a ruling elder, and like my father, brother, and husband before me, I have the privilege of being moderator of the Property and Maintenance Committee. I want to share a bit about my committee and its importance to me and to the mission of Grace Covenant. The Property and Maintenance Committee is charged with taking care of 1627 Monument Avenue, the building and the grounds. We get things done in a nuts and bolts kind of way. Our work sometimes means coordinating with contractors, organizing church-wide work days, researching ways to best maintain and enhance various parts of the property, and sometimes simply fixing something that needs repair. We make sure the building is clean, the air conditioning and heating are in working order, usually. We maintain the parking lot and grounds. We ensure that the building is secure every day for our CDC children and staff. We oversee the use of the facility for outside programs and much, much more. Each responsibility is so important to the everyday running of the church. Although I know that God is everywhere, there are certain times and places that I truly feel his presence. A beautiful sunset, the Hallelujah chorus, a boat ride, Easter morning, my daughter's baptisms. But it's here at Grace Covenant, with the beauty, the history, the family of members, that I know that God is with me. I walk into this sanctuary and I'm overwhelmed by his presence. This building has been the setting for the most important times in my life: baptisms, my own and my daughter's, confirmations, weddings, my own and my daughter Margaret's, funerals. The list goes on. But just as important as these personal occasions are the many mission opportunities Grace Covenant has been able to host and participate in because of this building. We have hosted blood drives, Caritas, risk meetings, presbytery meetings, and more. Our own Sunday worship, circle meetings, Wednesday night suppers, committee meetings, weddings, funerals, all of these make use of this facility. The reality is, this building is a member of every committee of the church. It is the setting for worship, Christian education, music, radio, and so many fellowship opportunities. Many of our tenants contribute to the finances of the church through rent, but also are here because we support their mission. Currently, we house the Office of Kish, our medical mission effort in Honduras. Office space is also used by the Clergy Committee for Bus Rapid Transit and by RISC, Richmonders Involved to Strengthen Our Communities. City Church has an amazing place to worship due to their partnership with us, and our Child Development Center has been a gift to the community. Property and maintenance is committed to keeping Grace Covenant running smoothly. Currently, in addition to me, our members are Bill Jacobs, Cal Gray, Catherine Baird, and Caroline Leith. It is a lot of work, but it is vital and satisfying work. We are part of every committee and central to the mission of Grace Covenant, and we would certainly love for you to join us. Please let me know if you are interested in the committee that maintains God's house. He absolutely is here. It's worth it. Thanks.
Thank you, Lewis, for sharing the breadth of all that committee does, but then sharing the depth and the way that strikes home with you and your family. And again, if the Holy Spirit is nudging you to be part of that committee and that incredible work that lifts up, you heard a large swath of ministries. Talk to Lewis afterwards, or one of the names that she mentioned. As we continue into worship, invite you to consider, how is God calling me and calling our family to contribute financially to the ministry and mission of this church? That is certainly one way we continue to pass along this great faith. And as you're discerning that for this morning, I'll remind you that later this month, October 30th, will be our Pledge Sunday, the day on which we make our pledges for 2017. And we start to think about, God, how are you calling me, not just today, this October Sunday in worship, to give, but how are you calling us to give and contribute to the ministry and mission in 2017? And again, you'll get more on that in the mail this coming week, but ask you to begin praying about that. You also have your communication cards that I invite you to fill out and let us know you're here. Let us know, please, if there are ways to be praying for you or giving thanks alongside you. The care team lifts those up every Wednesday. And if you want to begin RSVPing to events that are in the bulletin, you may. The Harvest Brunch on October 30th. Some of you are interested in the new member, the Inquirers class on November 6th. You can begin letting us know of your RSVP through that communication card as you place it in the offering plate when they come around. You're invited to give as you're led.
Keep my covenant as
Gracious God, we give thanks that you have indeed come to us. You have come to us in the form of Jesus Christ and revealed yourself in and through his word, in and through the many fathers and mothers you have placed in our lives. We give thanks for every one of them. These, our tithes and offerings, are an expression of our gratitude for your love and your grace, and especially the love and grace we have known in and through those saints. We ask that you use what has been given here today to contribute to your good work of passing the faith from one generation to the next. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us remain standing as we sing together, "Now Thank We All Our God." Reminder, immediately following this service, you are invited down the hallway to our social room where there's food and drinks and plenty of time to live into being the intergenerational community of God. We are so grateful as well that we are the international community of God. Melvin and Lorena are here from Honduras, and I do hope you'll greet them after the service. We honor our mothers and fathers when we both imitate and improvise. May the Holy Spirit empower you this week to do just that. And may the Holy Spirit also keep your heart open, because I think God wants to do a new thing. I think God is inviting some new dance partners within the congregation, some new mothers and fathers for all of us. As you go forward dancing and open, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you this day and always. Amen.
Take, O, take me as I am.
For the past hour, you have been listening to the worship service at Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church in Richmond, Virginia. Please join us again next Sunday through our radio ministry or in our sanctuary at 1627 Monument Avenue. You're also welcome to join us this Wednesday evening for Wednesday night supper beginning at 6 p.m., followed by a program. Your announcer today has been John Harris, and the engineer was Cameron Baer. This service streams live and can be accessed on the church's website, which is grace-covenant.org. We now return you to Christian Talk Radio on WLES.